You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. It's Mail It In Friday, brought to you by 1 in 100.
Yeah, hi, it's Bill Lumberg again. Yeah, it isn't a half day or anything like that.
Who gives a f***?
Why aren't you at work?
Because I didn't feel like it.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
It is Mail It In Friday, brought to you by 1in100.net. Win killer seats to any Toronto game for less than the cost of a pitcher of beer. Just go to 1in100.net. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, and Darren Detition. Dutchie's in the house.
Yeah,
what's up? It's Fun Friday.
That's a nickname, Dutchie.
Dutchie is in the house.
All week we've had just soft nicknames.
Really?
Well, Jonas. What do you call Jonas? The Beagle?
I had a... The Beagle.
That's
what it
one.
Is. Yeah, Jonas the Beagle.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
That's fair. But I had a 60-year-old poke me in the chest one time because we were playing pool in a bar. And I don't know how old I was. I was probably, I don't know what I was, 25, 27. And, you know, my buddies are like, hey, Dutch. This guy comes up to me. He's just greased. Yeah. You know, he's got the Rick breath and everything. And he's like, you're not Dutch. I know Dutch. And you're not him. And I'm just saying, I've had that a few times where it's like,
they
it's
don't
kind
know,
of a,
they don't think, they think they know you, but they don't? Or they
No. They know a guy named Dutch.
Ah.
And I am not that guy because it was like Butch. Like, I had an Uncle Butch. And that was his real name.
Okay.
Which
so
is a cool name. You know, it was his first name. It was his given
so
name.
So let me get that straight. You're saying that on his birth certificate, it said Butch.
Yeah.
So his name was Butch Detition.
Yeah. No, his last name wasn't Detition.
Okay, not that it matters. But yeah, you're telling
Butch
me like...
He was uncle. He was married into the family.
So this guy is 2 weeks old, and he's meeting like relatives, and they're like, here, who wants to hold Butch?
Yeah. Honestly, it's a great name.
It's a great name when you're older.
He's born in the 50s. Like, he's born probably in the 50s.
Oh, he's passed away now. Yeah, it was a long time
ago. Okay, so he would have been born in the 40s or something, but like... Yeah, that's tough.
Oh, dude.
Babies
Beats
born
better
Butch.
Than, what are the names they're throwing out now? Carrot strainer.
Wow.
You know, it's like,
know
hey, avocado toast.
I know that.
I get it. You know. Like, at some point, the parents are, like, that's, they haven't put a lot of thought into that.
No,
dude.
I think they did. I think they're like, all right, this
Well,
kid.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with the name. I guess what I'm saying is it just
you know
doesn't,
what,
it's not conducive to a baby.
Yeah, he had a stutter, hard stutter, too, at times.
Well, that's but, that happens.
Well, that's
I know.
Not
I'm
because
saying,
of the name.
Though.
I mean,
no kidding.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was stumbling over Butch, but everybody can say Butch.
Well, maybe Butch is.
And he was one of the. He was just a gentleman. He was a gem of a man.
I love
just
it.
An absolute kind soul. He was always nice to me when I was
well,
a kid.
Well, we should ask people today, like, what name is the least compatible with a baby? Like, which name, when you hear it...
Maybe Butch.
It
Butch might be in
I mean,
the equation.
Butch would be real close.
It like, might be right there.
There's nothing immature about that name. There's
Turk.
Nothing cuddly.
It's a great name.
Turk.
Turk?
Yeah, you know, but...
Yeah, but Turk...
That's short for something.
Yeah, though. I'm not talking short form names. I'm saying... Like, you're telling me Butch was on this guy's
on his,
birth certificate.
Name. You've heard of Butch Herman, too.
Yeah, so I'm not saying
Butch
I haven't heard
popular.
The name.
But Butch Herman, that's Herman. That's a nickname, though.
Is
right.
it?
Yeah. And,
I don't know.
Like,
I never
Butch,
read his book.
Butch Goring, his name is not Butch.
No.
That's
I'm
going to
look
nickname.
It up, but
Dude,
yeah, it's...
Honestly, I loved when we had Butchie Goring on. The last time I was on, it was fantastic.
Right, that was
He's
a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, old school guy. I did an Islanders game. It was so long ago. This is how long Pierre was still working here. Butch was the coach of the Islanders.
Yeah.
And so I go in to do the coaches meeting or whatever and just meet him before the game earlier. Had lined it and wanted to ask him a few things. I go to poke my head in. I knock on the door. Open the door. I go in there, and there's Butch. And he's in his underwear.
Yeah.
And he's rubbing lotion all over himself.
Well, he's getting
and I'm
ready.
Like, hey, do you want me to come back? And he's like, no, come on in.
I've never understood the whole lotion thing, like all over
Why,
the body.
You don't like lotion?
I've never applied
Are you
lotion.
Not once.
I am coming off a hard 8 days of lotion.
Well,
I'm
not talking
I was on
about
a holiday down south.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you're,
yeah, but
if
that's
you're
in
sunburnt
the sun,
or something,
Dutch.
If you come back with the John Candy in summer rental because your face is like that's. You have to apply, like, what's that called? Aloe vera or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like,
no, I mean, just even lotion.
I don't get out of the shower and grab the
That's what, like
Vaseline you know, lotion that. And go and cream myself from head to toe.
Right. Like, of
Women
course,
do.
Of course, Dutch. Of course, people put
on holiday, I do. At
I
home? No.
What do you mean on holiday, you do?
Dude, like, when I'm on a sunny holiday down south.
Yeah, of course.
Dude,
suntan lotion. We're not talking about suntan lotion, though.
Beautiful tan right now.
I know, but Dutch, you're not listening to me.
We're not talking
about suntan lotion.
He's talking like
Vaseline
the
place.
After you get out of the shower, you've been in the sun all day. You've been cocktailing. You don't grab that,
No, I don't.
You don't grab that cocoa butter cream?
I've never done that.
Here's the thing.
Absolutely. Feels delightful.
You just described Butch. Butch didn't come off of the beach.
Oh,
he didn't.
Butch
he
never
came
saw
off
a
the
beach.
Ice and he and he's lathering down. So that's that's probably a daily routine for him.
Yeah.
Me, I've never done it.
That's what I'm
saying, what you're talking about.
Like I was at the gym last week. I only go once a week now.
It's okay. Well,
it's all
good.
Right, though. You're getting
into
the swing
of things. At least
I'm
there. Like, listen, I'm paying for it. I might as well show up every once in a while.
That's nice.
And there was a gentleman who he was not youthful. And he was being very liberal with the whole kind of operation.
Lathering it up.
Yes. And there was no towel involved or anything. And this guy was in a full-blown lather.
And he's
okay as long as he doesn't say to you, hey, can you give me a hand?
Because
if he throws that out, you got to go.
You run for the hills or you find a new gym.
He's like, no, I'm not in.
Sort of a plying glove or something. Hey, you help me out with the back here.
Listen, he's not doing anything illegal. It's his gym as much as it is my gym.
It is, but you don't need to see this guy.
It's still one of those things.
I swear to God.
I've never seen that before.
Something you can't unsee.
I swear it on my three kids. I was once in Miami, went to the gym, worked out downstairs, same sort of thing. You're showering, whatever. It's just it's segregated. It's guys. And so I got no towel on. This guy beside me, and he's like, hey, can you rub some lotion on my back? I'm like, no. I swear to God. And he asked me. He's right beside me. And he's like, he goes, well, he must have looked at, and I was like, no.
Yeah.
And he looked at my face like.
Yeah, you were.
Disgusted.
Okay,
I don't know. I was like, you just went over to, dude, those were over. I have personal boundaries. That was a boundary that was severely crossed there. And I'm like, okay, if it's my buddy and he's like got a super sunburn, okay, maybe. But this cat, I don't know who this, and then he's like, oh, well, my wife, you know, I got to go to Mexico for business and she just left and I got no, and I'm just like, no. And I just walked out.
Yeah, that's not the thing. I think there's a line that gets crossed.
Well, yeah, people are sending in names. Gary is an obvious one. Gary's a tough baby name. Leanne tweeting in saying Hank, but Hank is short form
Henry,
for Henry.
Right.
You know, so
and
Henry works.
Finding out Butch Goring's real name is Robert.
Oh. Exactly.
Yeah, Robert Thomas Butch Goring.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm not talking nicknames here. I'm talking actually names.
So Gary would be one. Didn't we get a note last year that Gary was extinct almost? Like there's no Garys.
It is going extinct.
In like 2017, there was no new Garys.
Yeah. Which is sad.
Gary's going extinct.
Do you have an Uncle Gary?
No.
I got Uncle Gary. You got Uncle Gary?
I do not.
I've got an Uncle Eddie.
Oh,
an Uncle Alan.
I had an Uncle Eddie.
Lyle. Like those are like strong.
I feel like everyone has an Uncle Al. Everyone's got an Uncle Alan.
Uncle Alan. Well, my Uncle Alan, it was a truck driver. Yeah. Had a mustache.
Awesome.
And he never wore a shirt with sleeves.
That's awesome. He was grit.
Well, not was, still is. He's living in Edmonton.
So we'll get to the Leaf game here in a moment, but there's been a development down at spring training because the Jays are playing the Phillies today.
Uh-huh.
And some guy by the name of Trent Thornton, who's a pitcher for them, he's not going to make the team. He's a minor league guy. He's eating up innings in spring training. He hit Bryce Harper today and, like, really beaned him. And Harper went down badly and left the game and was limping off the field.
Really?
And I just saw this. Someone sent this tweet in that Trent Thornton, again, I've never heard of before. I don't know what his future is going to be within the organization.
He's cut.
No,
but,
why?
Well, the Jays aren't going to cut him. Why would you cut him because of Harper?
Who cares about Harper? Out of his hand. Who knows?
But he's, you know, a bunch of Philly fans are like freaking out and sending him death threats on Twitter already. They found his Twitter account.
Oh.
And they're all freaking out because, you know, he's a pitcher, right?
Yeah.
Like it got away from him and hit Harper. Harper dropped.
Dude. Yeah, I misunderstood. I thought it was an inner squad.
No.
Like, you know how sometimes guys get hurt in an inner squad?
Well, you can't touch the quarterback. But this is baseball, though. Who knows if he was trying to ride one on the inside and it just got away from him a little bit and clipped him?
Wow.
Dude, that's the beautiful thing about the National League, though. I love it. Pitchers got a hit.
Yeah.
You know?
So there is some retribution if
absolutely.
You want there.
But, I mean, it's not against the Jays. This is
there's death threats going against the pitcher.
That's what someone sent me here. Yeah, someone sent me like a screen grab of his Twitter account and the amount of people like idiots down in Philly.
Yeah,
because they're all overly sensitive because it's their guy, right? Like this is the thing about preseason baseball and preseason sports in general. Someone gets hurt when you're just killing time, people are going to freak out. Yeah. And especially with a guy like Harper in Philly, where really it's the only thing people in Philly care about right now is Bryce Harper. The amount of jerseys they've sold, the amount of tickets they've sold, the only thing that matters is Harper. And it would be one thing if he got hurt, you know, sliding into second.
Right.
He got hurt, you know, on a fielding play or whatever. But if it's a guy that they're not even familiar with, they don't even know who he is, and it gets away from him and it drops him, then, obviously they're just freaking out in Philly.
Well, they're just scared. That's what it is. You're scared. You've got the golden goose or one of them, and he gets hurt.
You got him for 13 years. The goose takes one off the Adam's apple, and he's
I know, but, like, that would cause some angst. Like, let's bring it to this market. Kawhi gets, you know, in preseason, somebody, you know, fouls him hard. Or Austin Matthews in a preseason game, a guy who's going to play in the AHL, buries him from behind or something. You know, like, there's so many things that you could equate that with.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you would like to believe people would be more sane and more reasonable and not send death threats
on
Twitter.
But until it happens in your market, you know there's always some...
But Philly's known for that.
You're right. Philly is more of an aggressive market. The New York area is an aggressive market. But fan bases are very passionate, regardless of the city. You know, Vancouver, they're very protective of their players. Toronto's very protective. Edmonton, you know, you go right down there. Winnipeg, I think, has a real good outlook, but they're very. You say something about the Jets, they're coming at you. Believe me, I read my Twitter, my Twitter feed. If I have to talk something poorly about the Jets, I get, you know, I never get death threats, but that's ridiculous. But it's more like people come at you because they're defensive of their team, and that's the passion of sports. But this is crossing the line, you know. But that's. We've talked about social media all week this you know, since Morgan Riley, Monday night, Tuesday. Like, it becomes a cesspool in certain topics. Other times, I think it's a great form of information,
communication,
interacting with people and stuff, but there's that layer that really pisses people off.
Well, and that's, I think, Raptors fans were having fun with LeBron and the Lakers last night, and I'm sure it carried over to Twitter and Instagram. In fact, I saw a lot of people pointing this out, where LeBron, who connected with Kawhi after the game and said something along the lines of, you know, we'll be in touch we'll connect later. And honestly, what I've found, and this isn't an exact science, and by no means is this 100% of the material being directed towards that story, but a lot of it is people goofing on LeBron and the Lakers.
Yeah,
like, it's amazing what has happened with the reputation of LeBron James.
Well, it's only been a blip, and I think their expectation level has been unrealistic. And clearly, when they got them there, they expected him to work the same sort of miracles with the Lakers that he did with Cleveland. They didn't bring in the right players or players equipped to help LeBron get into the postseason, so they're not going to make it. So, and you know how people, especially Laker fans, but Los Angeles has got... You know, I mean, that's a place where all they do is win championships. Give them another year. It hasn't even been a full season yet. But, yeah, the height of expectations, the weight of expectations, LeBron comes in there. Team's no good. They're not making the postseason. But I guarantee you that they'll make the postseason next year, and they will be a little bit better. It's L.A.
I'm not willing to guarantee that. I'm really not.
I give that one up there.
Well, if he signs somebody, then I'm going to
sign somebody.
But you
know what it is there.
You know that.
It's recency bias. This guy's been to the, finals nine years in a row?
8 years in a row,
but sorry, but the minute that he drops off, it's almost the, you know, what are we going to say about Tom Brady when Brady has an offseason? Guy's done. You're right. It's the whole package that people are looking at LeBron, and it's almost like he's come off his pedestal a little bit in people's eyes.
Absolutely.
A little bit, but because of some of the clips that have been shown this year, because of the defensive play that he's exhibited at times, but only most recently. But still, LeBron's LeBron. He's still arguably the greatest player in the game.
Yeah.
And they will. Listen, it's Los Angeles. That is the greatest recruiting area in the entire world. You have movie stars. Think about the National Basketball Association. Where does everybody want to play? L.A.
Yeah, but here's the
and
problem
gonna
with that,
And they're
going
to do it
though.
With LeBron in the offseason, though. They're going to have some cap space, and LeBron's going to do his recruiting the way that he recruits.
They had it last summer, and they couldn't get anyone to chat.
I know, and
they couldn't get anybody to chat.
It was a really kind of inconceivable to me that Boogie wouldn't go there.
How about Paul George?
Yeah.
Dutchie. Paul George.
And Paul George
is from L.A.
100%.
From L.A., grew up a diehard Laker fan.
I get it.
He wouldn't even meet with them.
Yeah,
I get it.
He wouldn't even meet.
The
Lakers have not made the playoffs in 6 years.
No,
it's not
what
it's not the same old Lakers.
LeBron's only been there for a year. And not even a healthy year.
Well,
he's been injured this year.
Here's what I'll say.
And his production is still good. LeBron's still a great player.
Yeah, I agree.
They'll make some moves in the offseason. They'll find a way. They'll squeeze it.
I think what it is if LeBron was having a good season on the court and they weren't a very good team, people would leave it alone. But what's happened, he's been injured. He's walking into the arena with wine. He's got a lot of
he's having parties.
Like this guy, and you know, there's reports that he's overweight. What's happening? They're starting to, and it happens to every top
they
athlete.
They start pecking at him.
The minute that you're not performing, why are you not performing? Okay, you look overweight. You're not focused on your job. You're walking
throwing a
in
party in Toronto.
Exactly. To me, you start to pick away, and you look at. I guarantee you. When he was dominating the league, he was probably doing all this stuff.
Oh, 100%.
But nobody's paying attention because it's LeBron. He goes to show. But now that he's not performing and his team is a tire fire and he hasn't been able to drag that team like we've seen in Cleveland,
exactly.
People are like, okay, this is it. And now you start picking at him. So I think, you know, Brian's onto something, but I still think you have to afford that maybe this is an outlier. But he's not like he's 26.
No,
that's
what's important to point out. This 100%. Guy is not he was. It's not. Listen, I have been the biggest LeBron tire pumper and apologist ever. I mean, this guy is, his resume speaks for itself.
It does.
But the fact is, he is not what he once was.
Nope. I would agree with that.
Tonight, load management for what?
No,
you're not
know.
Going to the playoffs. Why are you not playing
you
tonight?
You know why? The way he said it yesterday after the game, and he was trying to defer a little bit because he knows he's going to get slapped around for that. Listen, when you're the best player, Gretzky got it, Mario got it, Tom Brady gets it. Like, people are going to peck at you. But last night after the game, he was saying, well, I talked to my trainer and we talked to management, and management decided that this is the route that they wanted to go.
So that's not true at all.
I mean, I understand.
He makes every decision
pertaining
to his own
career. He's the general manager. He's the coach. 100%. It's his decision.
Right.
But he deferred it yesterday. Because he doesn't want to get pecked at again, and now it's going to be like, well, this is the load management.
Well, if he can't sell anybody this summer, and again, getting back to the whole Kawhi angle, where Kawhi didn't even acknowledge his existence. I mean, he said hello and moved on like he does with everybody else. But if he can't get at least one player, if not two, this summer, that's it. Because that Lakers team is terrible.
Yeah,
and don't tell
awful.
Me it's because Lonzo Ball is injured.
No. They're garbage.
And
by all accounts,
the guys know they're dead man walking, too.
Like yeah, LeBron doesn't want
to. Like there's that one again. It comes back to the internet, but there's the one GIF of him sitting at the end of the bench.
Yeah, no, for
and
sure.
Everyone else won't go near him because they know that he's tried to trade them. Like I think he's a guy that is on an island right now. But you know, this summer, isn't his agent one of the most powerful guys out there? Like I think
he's Boogie's agent.
They're probably going to be able to garner some interest. But I think LeBron.
Some interest.
Well, I'm saying LeBron's got to have a hard sell here. He's got to show up and say, listen, last year was no good for me, but I'm telling you, I'm locked in. I'm going to be in shape. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to put Space Jam behind me. I'm going to put all these things that I'm distracted with.
Yeah.
You want along? Come along for the ride here with me this time. Like, I'm going to do what I did in Cleveland. But right now he hasn't done that. So people are saying, hey, all we're doing is stating the facts and what's in front of us. And the team hasn't been good.
When you looked at their roster at the beginning, when he signed with them, and when the first game of the regular season opened up, did you think, oh, this is a playoff-bound team?
I thought they'd make the playoffs.
I did, too, to be honest with you. I thought they'd squeak in as maybe an 8. But then as soon as LeBron got injured, it was like curtains. No
but,
more.
But I looked at it and said, anything that LeBron touches, how can you bet against it?
You can't.
That's the way I said. So I didn't know what his other players were capable of, because I looked at LeBron and said, okay, it doesn't matter because this guy has been able to drag along
100%.
Any type of team.
And that's
so
why
I said,
he gets judged by a different standard.
Right.
Because he's just been so great, and he's done such an exceptional job in Cleveland, the first trip and obviously the second.
James Duthie will be in studio. We've got the game for you tonight. The Flyers are in town taking on the Maple Leafs. The puck drop is at 7 p.m. Pregame at 6:30 right here on TSN 1050. You can watch it on TSN 4. So Duthie's going to be hosting the panel tonight. He will be in studio. We'll start teeing up the game tonight. We'll let you hear what Mike Babcock had to say earlier today about what the Leafs have to do to get back on track. And they're in Ottawa tomorrow night. Noodles, you were there last night checking out that Eric Brandstrom kid. We'll get to that in just a moment as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give it away. Leafs Rangers, Saturday, March 23rd, and every day this week we have been providing the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player, and today is the day. The final clue, and then the phone lines will be open, and you can name that Leaf. 416-870-1050. The final clue, this Maple Leaf is an Ottawa, Ontario native and scored 50 goals in an NHL season. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. The Leafs are playing tonight. They got Philly in town. That game's at 7 p.m. right here on TSN Radio, and you can watch it on TSN 4. They're going to have their St. Pat's uniforms on tonight. I love those. I think they're great.
You know what's outside of the drinking and all that comes with St. Pat's? McDonald's Shamrock Shakes.
You a big fan?
I enjoy them.
What do they taste like? I never even knew they made those.
Leprechauns?
Yeah, they're like, like a minty.
They taste up like ground-up leprechauns.
It's like a mint. Like
yeah, see, I don't like mint. I'm not a mint.
Oh, so you're not like you don't like mint chocolate chip ice cream or whatever?
No.
The Shamrock Shakes are quite impressive. Now, I, for some reason, this is weird, but I used to have the green mix with orange. You could put an orange flavor in it.
Uh-huh.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Now, this is 100 years ago, but I actually saw online that McDonald's has the Shamrock Shakes right now. I may actually stop on the way home and get one.
Nice.
Impressive. That's something that people don't know.
Oh, 100%.
How do you feel about McDonald's, like, when they only come out with a certain item for like a month,
like
out
a
of the whole year,
or something like those weird. I don't know.
Why don't they do that around the clock? Like, why not have it always available to people?
I don't know. They just pop it, and then make it special.
I like the fact that some of them, I don't know if all of them, have breakfast for lunch or breakfast for dinner now. Like what is it, 24 hour?
Yeah, but you know what's weird is that they really stick to the clock for trying to get lunch and dinner foods. Like, we went through a drive-through. It was like 10:55 a.m. I guess this McDonald's opened at 11 in terms of being able to get fries and burgers McNuggets and stuff. And we were through at 10:55, and we asked, can we get a McNugget Happy Meal? We had the kid with us. And the lady's like, no, not for another 5 minutes. Wouldn't take the order. And I was like, really?
Like, are you serious?
I'm like, it's 5 minutes away. By the time there's a huge lineup, by the time we get up there, it's going to be 11 anyway.
Yeah.
And I had to do the turnaround like the Austin Powers.
I would just say, I'm waiting here for 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I'll just block traffic for 5 minutes.
You know what? Like, I'll wait here till 11.
Yeah,
maybe I could have done that.
Dude, that's the play.
I think that's the play.
Oh, that gets the wheels moving.
It's ignorant.
It's not that ignorant.
I think it's ignorant because when you're in a drive-thru, you want people to move along. I've actually handed the horn out a few times or a let's go. Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because
to the vehicle in front of you?
Yes.
Because I know, but it's not that guy's fault. What's he going to do?
I always feel like it's somebody's fault, whether it's the person ordering or the person receiving. Somebody is the cause of things moving slow. And I get frustrated. There's only one place that I really get frustrated. That's at the movie theater. When you're in line for popcorn, the sign is right there. When you're waiting, figure out what you're going to order and get up there and order it. And then move along.
No, I hear you, man.
No, get up there and then start asking little Timmy, what do you want, Timmy? Figure out what Timmy wants before you get to the front. Yeah. Because movies start on time. They don't wait for Timmy to make his choice.
Well, that's not entirely true. I mean, there's a million previews and all that.
Okay, but if you try to time that, you're actually skipping some of the previews because you're waiting.
Don't you always peel in and get the seat, then go to the concessions?
Never.
Always. Got to go in, get that prime piece of real estate, get the seat, the coat,
What do you do? You leave your coat there?
Yeah, 100%.
So
but he goes alone. He goes alone most of the time.
Who am I going to leave my coat with?
Nobody's taking your coat. We've seen your clothes.
Yeah, my clothes aren't great. Believe me, I will admit that.
I'm just kidding,
man. Get a free TSN coat. If I leave that there, that could be on the internet.
That's probably a hotter commodity than
you
think.
Exactly. And if it's summertime, you don't have a coat, would you peel your shirt off?
Yeah.
Go to the concessions tarpless?
I never.
Leave a flip-flop on your seat?
100%.
It's a good point. Duthie's in here. How do you save a seat in the summer? There's no way of saving a seat.
Well, you have to ask. You have to ask a clown next year or in front of you or something.
Or beside you. And nobody's in a theater in the summertime anyways. And then if you do go tarpless, you're like, hey, throw a little butter on this.
I could see Dutch going tarpless at the old Aurora Cinema.
I think you'd get kicked out.
Oh, I've been tarpless at a drive-in.
Yeah, at a drive-in, but you're gooned. Like, that's why. You're not.
Before you got there, though, not, exactly. Not halfway through. I moved to Aurora. This is a not. So I moved to Aurora 10 years ago, I think, with my family. I literally, we drove up and the moving truck met us there. I had been in Aurora, I'm not kidding, like 4 minutes. 4 minutes. They just opened the moving truck. The first thing was going into the house, and I hear this. And it's Dutch, tarpless, jogging through Aurora. Like, I'd been in town 3 minutes, and that was, it was like the mayor was meeting me.
The ground was shaking as he ran up.
No, the funny thing is like, literally, tell the proper story, though, because that was in the middle of summer. It's like 33 degrees. I was going to get my buddy's dog to take him for a run because they needed to exercise the dog. And I was like, yeah, so I clipped in there with no jersey on.
No tarp. I don't mind that.
No, it's 33 degrees. I'm going to go run 5 miles.
How much cooler are you without a shirt on? It's really not that much cooler.
Oh, it's a significantly different.
Like how much body temperature comes down?
Oh, huge.
If you're at 30, I don't even know.
Dude, that's like wearing a parka.
But if you're, like, I'm sure there's, like, nurses out there or doctors that could tell us exactly what your body temperature is when you're running outside.
I'm not buying the 33 degrees, too. I think Dutchie has a cutoff of, like, end of November where he puts the shirt on.
No, that's not true. I've gotten a little better with the shirt game. You know, when you're younger, though, you know. Honestly, when it's that hot. But I think I was taking this.
Hey, don't. That's not a knock, buddy. If I had your body, I'd be shirtless right now.
No, 100%.
In the studio.
That's true. But I think I was taking this thing called Cuts at the time. I think this is before they banned ephedra.
Really?
And, you know, you could take those.
Wait a minute.
You were hydroxy cut? Like, was it like
no, yeah, it was kind of like that.
Like
it was
kind of like that.
Because I remember it was so hot out. I was running one time, Noodles, and I looked down and I literally had ran. I was like, man, I'm feeling kind of dizzy. And I looked at my arm and I had like sweat crystals on there. You know, when the salt's on the outside. And
you're so dehydrated. That's why.
No, but you remember that.
I do.
Do you know the one I'm talking about?
I do, but I never took it.
You never had to get in shape for camp?
Because I was never in shape like that. I never ran with my shirt off. I would never do that. I'm too self-conscious and I don't have a good body. Yeah. If I was shredded, I would never wear a tarp.
Well, I just came back from Turks and I post some things. So I wear the water shirt only because I don't want to get my ass burnt. I got burnt once in my mid 20s, so I try to keep it. So I posted a shirt. I like last time in the water shirt. You get destroyed when you wear the water.
Well, you deserve it.
So then I'll do the odd one without, and then you get destroyed. Come on.
The thing is, you're a cool guy with no shirt.
Exactly. You can't win.
Cool
guy,
you can't win. Shirt guy in the water or no tarp being a hero. That's what it is.
Yeah. You can't win.
No.
I'm not posting anymore.
I was gone for a bit. I didn't have a. It was jerseyless the whole time. I loved it.
I just do the back shots to avoid the nipples.
Yeah, I've noticed that. You've actually perfected that, but you need someone to take the picture for you.
Right. Well, my kids are like professional photographers. They're taking them all the time.
You do a back shot?
He's got a good
All I got is the lats.
Is that what you do? You're doing the over the shoulder and you're like, hey.
Listen, but
no,
if he
you're
had a
staring
frying,
into the wilderness
you're
looking pensive.
You're not doing the Instagram
looking into the distance.
The thing is, if Duffy had a frying pan for an ass, he wouldn't be doing back shots. But yeah, you know, you're put together all right. So that's why. You don't mind that.
There you go.
He's taking a turn, hasn't he?
I did back today. I'm trying to build giant kite or king cobra. That's what I'm working on.
I'm just saying.
I don't even know what any of that means. You ace?
I have lost control of the show. I've never been defeated on radio. I've been doing radio for a long time. I've never been defeated. Dutchie, he's got me in a cobra clutch, and I'm out.
We're 4:34.
I tapped out. I'm gone.
When he was talking about his uncle.
Is my
Butch,
segment over?
Or is it Butch? Or was it?
Yeah, who cares?
We were
it doesn't
four
matter.
Minutes in, and Uncle Butch all of a sudden was involved.
The one thing that I think I do pretty well in radio is I'm generally energetic and ready to go, and I'm always like, okay, I got to fight through this today. I've never been defeated. I'm defeated. It's 4:35. I'm done. You guys go ahead and do whatever you want. I'm officially defeated.
You want me to host the least preview segment?
What do you have for us for the league?
They're taking on the Flyers tonight. We have a half an hour pregame show. I've just been handed the missive for the show.
Oh, the quizmaster.
Looks like we're going to do a lot about the problems. Here's off the top.
Here's a question.
Problems off the top of the games.
Here's a question for you. Is there because the quizmaster had reached out to me? Is there a Freddie Anderson angle either in the quiz or in the opening?
Yes, okay. I believe Craig Button is going to talk about Freddie's problems the last two games, and more about how that shows us how much the Leafs rely on him.
100%.
Because I think he said he's the most. I think Craig made the case, or you did a week or so ago, that There's no player that a team relies on more than Freddie in the Eastern Conference.
In the Eastern Conference, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sid is, to me, Sid is coming up as far as an MVP out East. He's been brilliant. He's dragged that team. But I think when, and goaltenders, Hayes, you say this all the time, like goaltenders are, they're the most important. So that's totally, you know, so you take a goaltender, like Vasilevsky got hurt, Louis Domingue stepped in. That team is so strong. That's an outlier. But Carey Price gets hurt in Montreal, they're done. You know, you go right down.
I would say the same thing, though, about Vasilevsky. If Vasilevsky was injured today and done for the year, I'm not picking Tampa to win a cup.
Well, in the playoffs,
no chance.
Yeah. But I'm just saying regular season, like right now, Freddie has been brilliant this year. Has he hit the ditch a little bit? Yeah, but I went through the 8 goals in the last 2 games. Like that, the wrist shot from the slot was 40 feet out. Got to make that save, but deflections, backdoor plays, terrible defensive play in front of them. They've got to get it together here in this last month, because you're not just going to flick the switch and all of a sudden, okay, now we're going to play against Boston. Like now we're going to ramp it up. Like systematically, they got to tighten up, and that's just attention to detail, and that's on the coach.
But don't you guys think though? Like legitimately, you could make a case for him. He's been the best Leaf all season long.
Yeah,
like
Anderson,
him and Mitch Marner, and the most consistent and the best Leafs all season long.
Yeah,
and Johnny Tavares, too. Listen, you're 100% right.
If you're a top five team in the league, you're going to have like a handful of guys that are having great seasons.
No, but he has covered up a lot of warts. That's a flat fact. And the last two games, for the first time in his career, he gets yanked in back-to-back games. Not his fault.
Here's something else that we're going to cover in the pregame that's been an issue, and it's face-offs, but it's two-pronged here. It's not just face-offs, but this may come back to coaching. It's how they respond systematically to them. So look at these last two games. Tampa, Tyler Johnson scores 12 seconds after Matthews loses a faceoff. Same game, he scores 6 seconds after Tavares loses a faceoff. Same game, Palat scores 5 seconds after Matthews loses a faceoff. Same game, Paquette scores 5 seconds after Gauthier loses a faceoff. Chicago scores 8 seconds after Kadri loses a faceoff. So there's 5 goals within 10 seconds of faceoff losses, and I think Pooley's going to get into the fact that they look disorganized when those things happen.
Yeah,
which is something.
And the debate I think all week has been, who is that on? Is that on the $6 million coach, or is it on the players who clearly put forth a pretty decent effort when the puck is in the other end of the rink?
Yeah,
you know, Feschuk had a stat yesterday. I think the coach factors in, but Feschuk had a really interesting stat yesterday, specifically about the draws. In the offensive zone, they're like top 5 in the league in winning draws. In the defensive zone, they're like bottom 3rd. Hmm. So why is the intensity dropping in one end of the rink? And it kind of, now this is just a theory, it's not scientific, but it might suggest these guys get in the offensive zone and they say cookie time.
Yeah. 100%.
Cookie time.
Again.
Defensive end, whatever. I don't get paid to win draws down here. Well,
okay, the reason why I say it's the coach is they've had the 2 years to correct this though, right? I mean, this has been a problem from last year. When you've had 82 the season before, and now you're 60 games in, when you're 140 games in, so if the players aren't listening, it's still incumbent upon the coach to get his message across. Do what you got to do. It's time to buckle down, like Noodle said.
If you're looking at offensive zone and defensive zone draws, like all that's going to say to the coach when he gets the stats is, I got to have the goat out there. Like that's what's going to happen. You want to tie a draw, put a 6'5" centerman there, and have my wingers jump in on the play. You don't want that because you want talent on the ice as far as the higher end. You want Matthews to win that draw. You want, Tavares to win that draw.
Right, win it and start moving up ice.
But that's what I'm saying is in the defensive zone, and this isn't from the scientific standpoint. It's who you trust to win that draw at a critical time. That's why we used to see Babcock throw out, who was it? It was Bozak. It was Plekanec.
Brian Boyle.
The guys he trusted, because their whole mindset is winning that draw. Mm-hmm. It's not, hey, let's stretch the play out here. Let's try and have a set play and go the other end. So that's what that is saying to me. That falls on the players. That falls on, the depth of this team, which the strength of the team is Matthews, JT, and Nazem. That's how the team is built.
But I think as much of a concern, I'm just guessing what Pooley's going to say here.
Right.
You're going to lose draws. Look, you're going to lose around half the draws in your defensive end. Is that in those seconds afterwards that they look confused.
They're not tying up guys.
And there's obviously they have systems, they have a bunch of different things they're supposed to do in these situations, and it doesn't look like they know what they're doing. And that's a big problem this time of year.
Outside of Freddie, is there a big boy you guys are spotlighting tonight?
Austin.
Yeah, for me it's 34. He's 100%. Been saying everything all Here's week and he's been talking a big game. Let's see what we got tonight.
And you got a ridiculous contract. They just paid him to be an elite level player. Be an elite level player every night in and night out. We saw that with Patrick Kane. You mentioned Sid the Kid. He had two helpers again last night. He's got 92 points in the season. Just another 92. Guy's cruising along. You want to be one of the best in the league? Then do it for 82. I know he's young. I know he's awfully young, and he's still learning the National Hockey
League. But you expect
it out
of McDavid, who's the same age. 100%. Yeah. You know, you expect it out of the best players.
And they expect Jack Eichel to do that in Buffalo.
Absolutely.
They expect that with, Aho with Carolina. They
right now, the league is a young league. So you're not – on your jersey isn't your age. If you're signing that big deal,
bring it.
You got to bring it. So Austin is a guy that you shine a light on, but I shine a light on a few guys. But it's to your point, Brian. It's more about he's been having to talk. He said all the right things. You know, early on, I mean, Tuesday he was like, "Yeah, we quit in the third. Now you needed a response. They didn't have a response." And, he scored, though.
Right. Listen, he's not alone. I'm just saying. Right. He is still, regardless of all the other names that we just named. We named Marner, Freddie, Tavares, Riley. I still think Matthews is the best player on this team.
The other thing is there's opportunity here. It looked like a couple of weeks ago like this race was over. You're locked in third. You know, Boston had gone, 19 straight games or something. Boston's lost three in a row, and they're 4 points back with the game in hand. And so if you want, we've all said all year that matters.
Right, absolutely.
Particularly, not necessarily in the playoffs does home ice matter much anymore, but in Toronto versus Boston, it probably matters.
Yeah, 100%. Right.
And so you have a chance here, so let's play playoff-type hockey for the rest of the stretch and try and win that spot.
You got to take advantage.
Yeah.
Now's the time to do it. Boston, they've lost three in a row.
The weird part is, too, is I think it's more incumbent upon the Leafs to have home ice because I think Boston can walk into Toronto. The way that team is constructed and with their leadership core as opposed to Toronto going into Boston, it's a tougher road for them.
It helps the psyche, but it also, having your, if it goes to a game seven, having your home crowd behind you.
Massive.
I mean, last change, all of the things, every detail. I mean, I don't think a week ago we felt that Boston was catchable. Now all of a sudden they're three in a row and teams are getting up for them. They've kind of hit the ditch a little bit. Like, they're catchable. And this is up to the Leafs to turn it around quick. They've had two stinkers.
Well, and look who they've got this weekend. You got Philly, who got smoked last night, and that was it. They're out. They're done. They weren't in it anyway, but now they know. Their fate has been sealed, and then you're in Ottawa tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you can't walk away with 4 points this weekend, that's coming off the last two games, that's on you.
Yeah.
That's on you. You're handing it to Boston.
But I thought St. Louis was going to beat Ottawa last night, and they lose 2-0. I'm watching the Detroit game, and all of a sudden I'm like, it's 3-0. But Tampa has the grit and the determination, and they score like crazy, and they come back, and the way they roll them.
Noodles, you're the only one sitting here who's played in the NHL. If you're on Tampa, it's going to sound goofy, but would you be worried? Wouldn't you almost want to have a little rut? Toronto's having this rut right now. Perfect time to have a rut if you figure it out and you're playing well the last five games going into the playoffs. If Tampa hasn't had a rut basically all year, and so if you go into the playoffs never having that, never basically any adversity, and whoever, they're playing the second wild card, the goalie stands on his head the first game, and they lose one at home, and then suddenly...
It tightens a little bit.
I wouldn't like that. And it sounds crazy to wish a slump, but wouldn't you almost?
I've said this all along. I've wanted adversity for them, but they've had some adversity. Like, they lost their starting goaltender for 5 weeks. Hedman's been injured.
They just haven't had adversity in terms of
as
they haven't
far
had a skid.
Losses and wins
I don't think
and losses.
It matters. Honestly, the playoffs rolled around. They've had adversity in the playoffs in the
past. But that's what
stung them. They got a veteran club. When this playoff rolls around, they know their windows now. They are going to be flying.
Bobby Mack said this the other day, and I thought it was a terrific point. Their adversity has been the last couple years because this group has been together. So it's almost like the regular season, like they're pissed. You can tell, like they've found another level because.
Really have.
And last night they're down 3-1. I kept checking the score. I'm like, 3-2. Oh, they got a power play. Oh, tied up. Like they just rolled.
They're
teams.
Possessed, man.
Yeah,
they're
they
so
are.
Good. All right, Duffy, we'll catch you on the panel tonight. It's Leafs Flyers at 7 p.m. The O-Dog's not on the panel, so what do you guys got going on tonight?
Little Craig Button in his place.
Nice.
Where's O down?
He's in Mexico. He wanted to go to Turks and Caicos, but you wouldn't hook him up.
He said he couldn't afford it.
Yeah, okay. Meanwhile, first class,
you know what?
Both ways.
But the thing is, you know why? He wants a beautiful place down there for free.
He wants it for free.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he
wants. It's the same philosophy of when he texts me at every single event I'm at and said, get me that hoodie that Brady's wearing. I'm not paying. It's the same philosophy with vacations.
Right, yeah, exactly. All right, James. We'll see you tonight, buddy. James Duffy, host of the panel tonight. Leafs Flyers at 7 p.m. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio as well. Pregame at 6:30. All right, don't forget about our Instagram giveaway. We're going to announce our first Instagram handle just at the top of the 5 p.m. hour, so make sure you're tuning in. It's a really, really cool giveaway. Courtesy of TSN 1050 and our friends at redtag.ca. So we'll tell you more about that in the 5 p.m. hour. Ray is coming up. Level of Concern, which is a game, Dutchie, you're not familiar with. You
have
not played,
played
with us before. It's very simple. There are three options, and we're going to put a St. Paddy's Day kind of spin on this, where it's either a Guinness, so you're just kind of relaxing. You're not that concerned. I'm just going to sit back and have a Guinness. Three quick shots of Jameson.
Ooh.
That's a little bit of concern.
That's a lot of concern.
And then it's Nicolas Cage from Leaving Las Vegas in Dublin on St. Paddy's Day type of booze bag.
Yeah, he doesn't make it.
Like, that's really concerned. Yeah. So you got three options for level of concern. It's pretty simple, but that's where we're going with it. We're going to get to that in the 5 p.m. hour. Ray is coming up. The Leafs are back in action tonight. The Raptors with a pretty simple win last night. LeBron really was not that effective. We'll get back into that LeBron conversation and him trying to essentially tamper with Kawhi, and Kawhi had no interest in talking with him postgame last night.
Awesome.
Dutchie's in here. Noodles, I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.